Lord, we look to you now. Quiet our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. You are our God. You are our friend. You are our master, our Lord. Speak to us. Soften our hearts, Lord, so that we might hear what you say. We might internalize what you say and act upon it. Your word is the truth. It's the way. It's a light. Speak to us in your name. Amen. Maybe you've heard this story. It's not a true story. It's a proverbial story. Back in the days when things were a little bit slower, one farmer was driving past another farmer, and he saw that farmer on his porch. And the first farmer stopped to talk to the second one, as they did back in those days. And the first farmer said to the second farmer, "How's your cotton coming?" And the second farmer said, "Ain't got none. Didn't plant any, afraid of the boll weevil." Okay, so the first farmer asked, "Well, how's your corn?" Second farmer says, "Didn't plant any, expected drought this year." So the first farmer says, "How's your potatoes?" Second farmer said, "Didn't plant any, scared of the tater bugs." So a bit taken back, the first farmer asks, "Well, what did you plant?" And the second farmer says, "Nothing, I'm playing it safe." Fear, worry, anxiety, it can immobilize us, can't they? If we let them, they can make us play it safe like the farmer, or something worse. They can eat at our stomachs, give us ulcers. They're nasty little buggers, aren't they? Fear, worry, anxiety. Nasty little critters. We as Christians, however, do not need to be unduly, and it's important, the word unduly, we do not need to unduly be influenced by fear, worry, and anxiety. Why? Obviously because God watches over us. That's why. If God, who loves us intensely, watches over us, if God, who is more than capable to do all things, whatever he pleases, whatever he's committed to doing, if he is watching over us, we don't need to fear, worry, or be anxious, do we? If our Almighty God, our Redeemer, is watching over us, then we do not need to sweat the details, do we? We can choose not to be immobilized by fear, worry, or anxiety. We can choose not to let them eat at us. We can choose not to wallow in them. And that's the good news of Psalm 23. Turn with me, if you will, to our text, Psalm 23. David said it this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He then goes on to explain how the Lord shepherds us, but let's just take a little bit of time on this first verse. Very simple sentence, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And yet I would submit to you, this is a terribly profound concept. Simple sentence, profound concept. "Since this is true," David said, "since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's translated in different ways in the various versions. In the NIV, it's translated, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The Living Bible translates it somewhat similar, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." Both cases there, what is stated is that God supplies all of our need. He's our shepherd. He supplies all our need. That's what's stated. And then what's implied? Because of that, we do not need to worry. The NIV, the King James, the RSV, and the ESV, they translate it a little bit more literally. As I read, they translate it as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In that case, what is stated is that we don't need to worry. Why do we not need to worry? Because of what's implied. God supplies all of our needs. So in the one case, what is stated is that God supplies our needs, therefore we don't need to worry. The other one, it's implied that God supplies our need and stated that we do not need to worry. Kind of, you know, one starting from here and getting to here, the other one starting from here and getting to there. For the most part, it's a six of one, a half a dozen of the other. Both are good translations. And what is being said either way is that God watches over us. He takes care of us. And therefore, we do not need to sweat all the details. He's our shepherd. He's got this. We can relax and trust him. Do you believe that? I'm sure that most of us have settled this issue once and for all a long time ago. God's in control. He loves us. I do not need to worry. I think most of us for sure have come to that point in our life where we know this to be the truth. But of course, when we go through certain situations, what we know and what we feel are different things, amen. We take a stake, we know that this is true, and we pound that stake down. God is in control. We do not need to worry. We pound that stake down once and for all. But then every once in a while, it pops up a little bit, doesn't it? So we've got to pound it down again. We go through a trial, and even though we pounded it down and we believe it with all our heart, it pops up again a little bit. So we've got to pound it down again. And so it's good to remind ourselves of what we believe in. Because sometimes we believe it in our head, but obviously not in our heart. We know that God is good. We know he's our shepherd. But as we go through the circumstances, sometimes it's hard to see past the circumstances. And so that is why I actually like the way the King James and the RSV and the ESV translated the verse. Because the way they translated the verse, they're emphasizing our choice. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Or you can almost say that David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I choose not to want. I choose not to worry. I choose not to fear. The NIV in the Living Bible saying we don't need to do this. David saying, I have made a choice. I will not fear. I will not worry. And so on. It's also in the imperfect tense. And in the Hebrew, just like in the Greek, the imperfect emphasizes continuous action that's not completed. Continuous action that's not completed. So David is saying, this is something I do constantly. I constantly choose not to worry or fear because I know the Lord is my shepherd. And not only do I do this constantly, it's not completed. I will do this until the day I die. So even though I'm sure David had pounded that stake in once and for all, I do not need to worry. Day by day, he still needed to pound it back in a little bit, didn't he? And he said he'd need to do this until the very day he died. We make a choice once and for all, but then we need to keep on resolving the same thing every day. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I choose every day, every situation, not to worry. Simple sentence, but very profound, amen? Very profound. Are you fearful today? Are you worried? Are you weighed down? Are you anxious? David chose every day not to want. We can do the same thing. The Lord is our shepherd. Give him your burden. He's got this. Whatever you're going through, he's got this. It feels huge for you. The Lord's got it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And after David said this, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I choose not to want, he then goes to explain about how God watches over us. And God is so good, is he not? He so thoroughly watches over us, more than we know, more than we can imagine. So let's move on with our scripture. Verse 2, David says that God makes me lie down in green pastures. I know nothing about sheep, just what I've read. But and the things that I've read, it emphasizes that, like many animals, they will not lie down until they're done grazing. And it's in green pastures where they're grazing. Green pastures are good. I remember in some August, some late August, sometimes in July, our cows grazed in some pretty brown pastures. Brown is okay. Green is good. These sheep grazed in green pastures, lush green pastures, and they ate their heart's content. They ate enough until they were full, and they lied down in green pastures. David said, in other words, you provide for us. Provide for us rich, wonderful food to our heart's content. You provide all that we need, and then some. And then the same part, the same verse, he says, you lead us beside still waters. Sheep, I am told, will not drink from like a gurgling brook. The noise scares them. They don't need to be afraid of it, but they are. And so isn't that true of God? He saves us from the things that frighten us, even from those things that we don't need to be frightened of. He leads us to quiet places, peaceful places. He provides for us, in other words, and comforts us, protects us. Then in verse 3, David said, the Lord restores my soul. I guess sometimes sheep, when they're lounging about, might accidentally flip over onto their back and then they cannot get up. So that's probably where the sheep dipping started and then went from sheep dipping to cow dipping. I don't know. But supposedly they cannot get back up until the shepherd comes and turns them back up, right? Sometimes don't we ourselves all of a sudden tip over? Something happens in life and it just knocks us over? Or maybe we just, I don't know, busy and we stray and then all of a sudden we're tipped over spiritually? Sometimes it's that, not the one thing, but death by a thousand wounds. We just get pushed and pushed and pushed and then finally we just tip over. And then God restores our soul. Isn't God cool? Isn't he cool? And then David said, he leads us in paths of righteousness. Sheep are creatures of habit, I guess. They left to themselves, they'll run in the same path until that path becomes a rut. I know this was certainly true of our cows. We had about a 40-acre pasture, and we had three or four paths that they took, and you'd think they'd go 2 feet to the one side of the path or 3 feet to the other side. No, they always went right to the rut, walked into the rut, and it just kept on getting deeper and deeper. And then I guess sheep will also eat from the same field until it becomes the wasteland. And then they'll defecate in the same places until the ground is poisoned. And they need the shepherd to guide them to new places, to guide them so that they're not always doing the same things that they've always been doing that are harmful long term. Isn't that true of you and I? How we need God to guide us. We get into our habits, and often the habits start off good. And there's a lot to be said about habits, routines, a lot to be said for it. But sometimes we just need God to guide us from here to there, because we're running in the same rut and it doesn't work anymore. Because the pasture where we've been feeding is now eaten down to the nubble. We need God to guide us in the ways that we should go. In all this, David said, God does for his name's sake. All this God does because it is pleasing to him. It's because he likes doing it. Because he enjoys it. Which I find reassuring, because that means that it's not based on who I am. It's based on who he is. And that means it won't change, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just as God has always cared for me, he always will. Even when I go from following him closely to doing stupid, he might, you know, take his rod and staff and get my attention, but he'll still care for me, just as he always did. Still provide for me, so on and so forth, because he's doing it for his own name's sake. Because he enjoys doing it. So four ways that God shepherds us. He provides for us, he protects and comforts us. He picks us up when we are down and tipped over. He guides us, which means we do not need to worry, fear, be anxious. We can trust in Christ instead. If God, Almighty God, all-wise, all-knowing God, if God, who is loving and good, shepherds me in this manner, I guess I don't need to fear, to be unduly worried or afraid. If you are fearful today, worried, anxious, recall to mind how God has taken care of you in the past. Think of the ways that he has provided for you in the past, and you could probably list a great number of ways. If you're weighed down again by fear, worry, anxiety, think again in the past all the ways God has protected and comforted you. Think about all the ways he has picked you up when you've been tipped over. Think of all the way he has guided you. One of the most powerful words in the Old Testament is what? Remember. 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 The God who's done all that for you in the past surely is still taking care of you today, even if you can't see it. The same God who provided for you is providing for you now. The same God who protected and comforted you is doing the same thing now. Same God who picked you up when you were tipped over, he's ready to pick you up right now, tip you back upright. The same God who guided you in the past is still guiding you now and will continue to do so as long as you live. God does not change. Indeed, such is the extent of his care that no matter where we are, no matter what we are going through, his hand is upon us. His hand is upon us for good. David said this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. I don't need to fear because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." During the summer months, sheep around Jerusalem were led up to the high range. And to get from where they were to the high range, they had to go through a lot of ravines. There's one just outside of Jerusalem that is actually called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. This is a picture of it. Of course, in David's time, the monastery wasn't there. Whether David was talking about this literally or talking about death as we think of death, either case, the point is this ravine was a very treacherous one, very fearful one, and there was a lot of caves. Lions would often hide and wait in the caves. And so sheep going through that ravine were in a difficult situation. But with the shepherd and his rod and his staff, they were safe. They were okay. There's a lot of places that are dangerous for us, a lot of places that are difficult for us, a lot of places that are dark and foreboding. But if God is with us, who can be against us? If God is with us, we're okay. We're okay. Then David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." After the sheep were led through the ravine, before they reached the high plateau, the tableland, the good shepherd went ahead and prepared that tableland, prepared that table. He pulled out his poisonous weeds. He killed any snakes he found there. He drove away the wolves. And then he brought his sheep up there to feed. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But the Lord's gone ahead of us. You don't know what this week is going to hold. And some of you are going to have a horrific week. Most of you will not, praise God. But some of you will. The Lord knows, he's gone ahead of you. And even now he's preparing a table for you in the midst of that week. What's going to happen to us as a country? We don't know. It doesn't look real promising. We may find ourselves in difficult situations in the years to come. Not saying it'll be easy, but God's already gone ahead of us. He's already prepared a table for us so that we might feast even in those difficult times. Isn't God good? And then David said, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." A good shepherd anointed the heads of his sheep for two reasons. One, if there was any sores there, to soothe the sores. And two, as a way to get rid of the pests, the gnats and so on, to protect the sheep against flies and pests. Oil, of course, was expensive in those days. And so a shepherd would use it very sparingly, no more than he absolutely had to use. But what does God do? He doesn't use a pinch. He doesn't use a teaspoon. He doesn't use a tablespoon. He doesn't use a quarter cup, half cup. He pours so much oil on a person that a person's cup overflows. God's not frugal. He's not miserly. He always blesses us with more grace than we need. Always blesses us with more peace and joy than we need. Always blesses us with more strength and courage than we need. Always. It's not just that he blesses us, but he blesses us until things overflow. Always. Always more than we need. Always. He graces us beyond what we can imagine. So even in the shadows, even in the presence of our enemy, God is with us. And when he anoints us, our cup overflows. He's extravagant, generous, more than capable. Do I need to go on? And he's the one who watches over us and cares for us. What's the result of all this? David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The word for follow in this case can be translated literally as chase after. So literally he's saying, "Surely goodness and mercy will chase after me all the days of my life." Think of a dog with a rabbit. Isn't it fun to watch a dog chase a rabbit? I'm always rooting for the dog, by the way. Sorry for those of you who love rabbits. They do such damage to a garden. But, you know, the rabbit's running and the dog's chasing after and intent on getting that rabbit. And the rabbit zags and the dog zags and the rabbit zags and the dog zags. And the rabbit goes down the hole and the dog digs like crazy to get that rabbit. That's God's goodness and mercy. Chasing after us intently, trying to catch us. And sometimes we don't slow down and let it catch us. And we zig and God's grace and mercy zigs. And we zag and God's grace and mercy zags. And we go down a hole and it digs after us. And if we just stop, we'd be blessed. But isn't that a wonderful picture? God's grace and mercy, surely goodness and mercy, will chase after me all the days of my life, even when I'm running from it. His goodness and mercy will chase after me all the days of my life. And then David said, "At the end I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy chase after us all the days of our life, and then we get to go home. Doesn't get any better than that. Goodness and mercy chasing after us every day, and then heaven. What else could we want from life? Jesus said in John 16:33, I have said these things, all the things that I've been talking about, all the things Jesus said that he was talking about in this chapter, about the things that might happen in this world. I have said these things that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, you will have struggles, you will have hard times. Every day of our life until we die is a struggle spiritually. It's just not when things are hard, but it's when things are good. When things are hard, we struggle to make it through. When things are hard, we struggle to survive. When things are hard, we struggle not to lose heart, and so on and so forth. When things are easy, we struggle with self-confidence. We struggle with pride. We struggle with forgetting who God is and caring about God. Every day we struggle. In the world, as long as you are alive, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And I've said all this, why? So that you might have peace. So that you might have peace. As I always say, and if you're tired of hearing me say this, forgive me, I'll keep on saying it anyway. Either God is good or he is not. Either he is in control or he is not. Either he is working all things out according to his plan for good or he is not. If he is good, if he is in control, if he is working all things according to his plan for our good, we don't need to sweat the details. He's got it. He's got it. It's easy. It's so easy. I'm not minimizing it. I've been through times when I've been sucking wind like everyone else. So easy to focus on the circumstance. To walk by sight. So hard to see God beyond it unless we really look. But we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. If we focus on Christ, if we walk by faith, doesn't make it necessarily easy, our circumstance. It doesn't necessarily make our circumstance easy, but it sure changes what goes on inside, doesn't it? If we look to Christ instead of the circumstance, we find peace, even amidst a hard time. We find love for the one who might be hurting us. We find joy despite our grief, and on and on and on. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I choose not to want. I choose not to worry. I choose not to fear. I choose not to be anxious. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. What? It's a choice. And we can make the choice. Why? Because of who God is. Because of who God is. Our precious shepherd. We can trust him. We really can. Lord, we look to you. You are so good to us. Even mankind in general, your grace just slops all over man in general. You reign on the just and the unjust. You are gracious to those who know you and to those who don't know you. You provide and watch over everyone in one sense of the word. But to those of us who are redeemed, Oh, how good you are to us. You watch over us like a father watching over a child. Like a spouse loving and watching over the other spouse. Like a best friend watching over a best friend. Lord, you have died for us. You have given us all the blessings in heaven. How can it not be? How can it not be then that you would fail to provide for us in whatever situation we're going through now? If you have done all of this for us, why would we ever think that now you'd get miserly? Now you'd be stingy? You don't even know the meaning of the word stingy, so to speak. Every time you bless us, every time you bless us, we come to you with our thimble, asking you to fill our thimbles, and you pour out an ocean of grace upon us. Imaginably more than we could ever ask for or ever need. We can trust you, Lord. Help us to do that. Even now, Lord, we look to you and we breathe. We just relax in your presence. You are good, Lord. You are good. We trust you. You are good. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.